So glad this isn't the main message today. Preparing a sermonette is difficult. I see why Mr. Vincent a lot of times will take his messages and create a three-part series, because there's so much material and you just can't get it all in one. So this is going to be a 16-part sermonette. I can't get it all in today. So tomorrow I've got the opportunity to go to Camp Buckeye. It's been a while since I've gone to camp. We get to take my girls, and I get to be on fishing staff. So I'm looking forward to spending some days fishing with the kids, being able to extract some lessons from that. So I thought, why not give a message on fishing? It's been on my mind quite a bit since I'm going to be teaching some fishing at camp. When was the last time you went fishing? It's been a while. It's a good time. Well, today's message is to be an encouragement for you to go fishing. I'm also going to include some steps that you can utilize to help you be successful. You've heard the saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime, right? They also say that a bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work, right? This is a 1942 short film that Disney came out with. It's pretty funny. Really has not much to do with my message today. But it's a great little cartoon on how to fish. Kind of comes up with just a fish having the last laugh. Fishing is not always how you plan it. There's many things to consider when we want to go fishing. What kind of fish are you after? What type of fish do you want to catch? Maybe you're going to go fishing in a pond or maybe a river. There is a lot of different type of fish out there. There's trout, bass, different types of sunfish. Maybe you're going to go fishing in a lake or in the Gulf. Flounder, walleye, perch. What about, have you ever gone deep sea fishing? Lots of fish in the ocean. It's cod, grouper, mackerel, mahi-mahi, tuna, snapper. A lot of these fish I've caught, but it's a fun sport. We also need to know what kind of equipment. Requires a lot of different types of equipment to go fishing. You got to have the right equipment, right? What if we're fishing from the shore or from the dock? What if we're in the stream? Do some fly fishing. Probably want some waders. Got to have the right reel, the right pole. What if we're casting a net from the boat? We're going to catch fish that way. We're going to troll from the back of the boat. What kind of hook? What kind of bait are we going to use? Are we going to use worms? Good old-fashioned worms. What about artificial bait? Lures. We're going to use a bobber, a spinner, a jig, a fly. There's lots of different equipment to utilize. But it's also good to know what's in our tackle box. Good to know what we have at our disposal. Another thing to consider when we go fishing, what are the conditions going to be like? Maybe it's going to be a beautiful day. Great day to go fishing. Sunny. Might want a sun hat. Some long sleeves protect you from the sun. What if it's raining? It's going to be wet. You want to be prepared for that. There's a Spanish proverb that says, he who wants to catch fish must not mind getting wet. It's kind of part of the territory. Just because it's raining where the conditions aren't perfect doesn't mean we don't fish. It's still good to fish in the rain. If you want to go ahead and turn to our scripture for today, we're going to look at a parable, not a parable, an actual story. In Mark 1:17, this is also found in Matthew 4:9, one of the parallel gospels. But in Mark 1, we'll start in verse 16, and says, "And as he walked," this is Jesus, "by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." This is what they did. This was their occupation. They were fishermen. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending their nets." And there's a time when we've got to stop to mend our own nets. Sometimes they get torn. Sometimes they need repair. And there's times that we need to stop for ourselves and mend our nets. Verse 20, "And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him." One thing to notice, Simon Peter and Andrew, this is probably not their first encounter with Jesus. He didn't just randomly call them out and, sorry, my slides got cut off there. But he didn't randomly call them out. They had probably seen Jesus and heard him speaking in the synagogue and different areas and had heard some of his message. They knew who he was and what he was about. But he called out to them. Also notice, these disciples, they were not men in the synagogues. Christ didn't pull them out from the synagogue. They weren't the elite religious leaders of the time or the studious men of the universities. They were average working men. This means you and me have a chance. They were just average blue-collar workers. Jesus also met these men right where they were, in their occupation, doing their work. And he spoke to them in a way that they could understand. They were fishermen, doing their regular everyday jobs, when Jesus came to them and called them to follow him with an analogy that they would have understood. Like if I said, "Dr. Pacelli, I've got a technique, an adjustment. Follow me. Let me teach you this technique that is going to solve all people's problems. Would you follow me?" Or if I said, "Brian, I got a code that could fix everyone's computer problems." Probably follow, right? So speaking in analogies that people understand, connecting with them of where they are, Jesus gave them an invitation. He said, "Follow me." It's an invitation, "Follow me." And then he gave them an opportunity, to make a profound, lasting, and eternal impact, to become fishers of men. How many of you decided to follow Jesus Christ? A few of you. Hopefully everyone's hands go up. We're all here. We've accepted his invitation, right? Well, you don't have to be baptized to know that you want to follow Jesus. That's a step that we make. But we've all decided to be disciples of Christ, right? To be a student, to study, to learn, and to grow in his teachings. Being a disciple doesn't mean that we just come here to warm seats once a week. It's not a passive calling that we have accepted. We're not just paying our dues and sending our tithes in. This is an active calling that we have accepted to follow Christ. That means there's something that we are to do if we are to become fishers of men. You know, a lot of times when I read scriptures, I am very literal. I love the artistic linguistics of the Bible. There's a lot of artistry in the words and that Jesus said. When I think of fishers of men, I think of going off a high-rise building and casting a line into a big group of people and seeing what I can catch. Maybe I'm using an iPhone as bait or a cheeseburger. I'm going to catch somebody. But a lot of times in church, we can have a lot of what's called Christian ease. It's kind of our own language sometimes, and it doesn't always translate. Even simple things such as sin, salvation, sanctification, repentance, grace, these terms don't always translate to other people. They don't quite grasp and understand what you're actually talking about. So sometimes it's good to kind of break those down and put it in analogies, put it in terms that people can truly understand. Great Commission. In Matthew 28, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." This was the third appearing of Jesus after his resurrection, that he appeared to the disciples. And this is one of the last things that he said, to go and make disciples of all nations. And this was to his disciples. This is not a job just for the pastors of our church, the elders, the deacons. This was a command to his church, to his disciples, to his people. And we're part of his church. This is all of our commission. How many people in your sphere of influence know that you keep the Sabbath? Something to ponder. How many even know that you're a Christian? We can go very silently throughout our day, our work week, and not have conversations or look much different than the rest of the world. But we have a calling. We've been called to this, to share the gospel, the good news. Let me ask you, is fishing easy? Please work. Fishing is sometimes unpredictable. There's no guarantee of reward. It requires patience and risk. In faith, fishermen in the Bible, and even today, they throw their nets into the deep water, letting it sink into the lake out of sight, and they hope that the reward for their efforts would be a catch. Fish usually just don't jump into the boat, do they? We don't necessarily have people just jumping into these seats. Fishers must search out the fish and take a risk by throwing their nets into the water. Could they possibly go through a bunch of work and never catch a single fish? Absolutely. That's happened multiple times in Scripture. But the risk is always worth the reward. There's a saying that a ship in a harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. They're meant to go out from the harbor, right? Not supposed to just sit there. There's another Spanish proverb that says you can't catch trout with dry britches. You got to get in the water. Sometimes you got to get out there. Is becoming a fisher of men easy? It's not always easy. It's also unpredictable at times. And it makes me think of the parable of the sower as well. Scattering seed. Some of the seed's going to fall on hard ground. Some's going to fall on rocks, weeds. Some's going to fall on fertile ground that's going to grow. There are times people are not going to want to hear our message or what we have to say to try to help them out. Jesus said, "If the people of this world hate you, just remember that they hated me first." He also tells us to love our enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who mistreat you and persecute you. We're going to have objections. We're going to have people that don't want to listen. And that's okay. They hated Jesus. They're going to hate us too at times. Doesn't mean that we stop. Vincent van Gogh, he said, "The fisherman knows that the sea is dangerous and the storm terrible, but they have never found these dangers sufficient reason for remaining ashore." We can't always make the seed fall on good ground, but it's our job to cast the seed, to cast the rod, to cast the net, and let God's Spirit do the rest. So a few fishing tips and how-tos. Lead an authentic, godly life by our example. Understand that our life is a great part of our witness, our testimony of what God has done in our life. People not only listen to our words, but they look at our life. We still fail. We're not always a perfect example. So our only hope is to come to God, surrender to Him. It's not through the things that we do. It's God's work. But we've got to submit to Him and let Him work in our lives and through the efforts that we can do. Pray for opportunities. Pray for those around us, those that we work with. Prayer is extremely powerful. Opportunities to share. Maybe everyone around you is Christian. Pray for somebody to come across your path that's not. It's not always easy to talk to people that aren't Christian, but be willing to engage in conversations and help those in need. Some of this, let's cut off. Let's see. Yeah, not just with Christians, even people that aren't of our faith. Having conversations with other Christians is good. It's kind of, you got a basis, a groundwork to work from. But the homeless, people that are suffering with addictions, agnostics, people that are not hot, not cold, just kind of in the middle, and even atheists. Have patients that I engage in conversations with. But that requires a relationship. You got to maintain a relationship with people. We also have to know what's in our tackle box. We've got the Bible. It's good to know the Bible, what's in there, be able to speak about that with others. We've got to know the conditions that we're going out to fish in. The world is a rough place right now. Political scene, our schools. We need to recognize that people are looking for a cure. People come to the doctor, or people come to me, they don't say, "Doc, my C1 is out." No, they come to me with symptoms. They say, "Hey, I've got a headache. Something doesn't feel right." People are experiencing symptoms in this world, and that's where most people live. They only see the symptoms. I'm lonely. I'm suffering with a broken relationship. I'm stressed. There's darkness within me, and I don't know what to do with it. How do we share Christ and His way of life with someone that's overwhelmed with their symptoms? Well, we know the ultimate cure, right? It's a life with Jesus Christ and a relationship. Keep it simple. The gospel's not complicated, and we don't need to complicate it. It's already simple. There are many times we throw things in, like denomination, doctrines, and we use religious terms, again, that Christianese, that can overwhelm people and just make them lose sight and not understand. So try not to complicate it. Explain the gospel in a way that people can understand, that there is hope in a broken world. The fishermen who don't give up, they're eventually going to get better. And a catch is always going to come eventually. The only ones who don't catch fish are the ones who give up. And the reward is far greater than the effort it takes to make that cast. This is what it means to be a fisher of men. You do not need to be from a specific culture, a class, or educational background. You don't need to be a particular personality type or a rank in the church. What we need is to be willing to share God's truth with others. Be patient. Be kind. Work through rejection. Mend your net when you get hurt. And get out there and fish again. Sometimes the fishing hole is empty. The fish aren't biting or the conditions are challenging. Other times we're in a honey hole. The fish are jumping and they're plentiful. But when you see people understand God's way of life and his plan and the length that Jesus went to redeem us and to incorporate us into his family, the joy far exceeds any pain. So let us pick up our nets, our rods, and follow Jesus Christ's invitation to become fishers of men. Because in the end, he's worthy of our efforts. So keep fishing, and God will supply the fish.